All right, today we've got a very, very, very special banter for you today. Today, instead of doing our normal banter show, I got all the banter hosts together, except one of them. And we're going to be talking about life in general. You're going to get to know us better. We're going to be talking about the markets. We may even give you some calls. We may be discussing whether it's a bull market or a bear market. It's a completely, completely, completely different show. I've got the entire gang with me. Yo, gang, what's up? What's up? What's up? What's up? What's up? Shaldino,
it's about time, bro.
It's about time. We all get going here. Guys, by the way, if you're not already subscribed to our channel, you know what to do. Fefe, I know you're not subscribed, so if you could please subscribe to channel Fefe, that would be very nice.
I'm gonna pump the numbers up, bro.
Yeah, and also, I mean, if you guys we want to get the show out there, smash the like button, destroy the like button. Also, there are people watching this live. They're the people from Front Runners, Chart Hackers, Sniper Club. Feel free to ask us any questions. That's what's going on here. Yeah, very different kind of show. So let's get the show on the road, guys. Alrighty, what's up? What's up? What's up? Shaldino, Fefe. Sheldon and Fefe, have you guys made up yet, bro? Have you guys made up?
No, officially. Like we stuck to the plan, did my side of the thing. So we're good.
What was your side was done. The ice bucket. You had to do the ice bucket, right?
Ice bath, mentioned on show, and $5,000.
So you had to pay
$5,000. This market's so choppy and boring. Like we do some bets on the side here.
So, some dopamine. That's what's happening. You need
just
some
tell
dopamine.
Us, exactly. Just tell us what happened, because I wasn't exactly following the chat.
Are you a quick thing?
Exactly, so we're gonna just tell me exactly what happened.
Bitcoin dumped that day. It went into the 80,000s or something. Okay. And then Fefe says we're gonna stay here for a while. I was like, nah, we're gonna go to 100K.
It's like February, mid February.
Okay.
Yeah. It was about 2 weeks. No, it was 2 weeks. 2 weeks before our bet. So it was basically nearly the end of Feb. And then we're like, oh, you want to bet? Okay, cool. And if ever said, let's put some money, I said, let's put a YouTube show.
Bitcoin goes back to 100,000 in 48 hours.
Yeah. And we went to 97.
Yeah. we didn't get to the 100. Because the news came out. Trump signed the executive order. It was literally like we took the bet and 2 days later, he signed the executive order, and I was like, fuck it, this cannot go above 100,000. Like, there's nothing that takes it above the 100,000.
All right, what did you guys bet? Because I actually wasn't following the group, but I know Fefe, bro. When you lose a bet against Fefe, you know, the thing of losing the bet is not enough, right? He's all over you like a rash about repayment.
Of course.
The thing with Fefe. He sits
bro, that's
in
what I'm thinking about. Like, I don't fucking care about the bet, bro. I don't fucking care about the bet. And also, just want to make it so it's on the record. I'm 2 out of 2 of banter bets. I'm just saying. Like, I want to bet against you. I'm going to these two guys now.
Yeah.
It sounds like he cares.
And you're also 1 out of 1 ducking a bet as well.
Whoa, yeah. I'm still down. Let's go.
Guys, how you?
Yeah, we bet the ice bath. Yeah. I did it. We bet $5,000, and we bet a mention on.
But I'm gonna say, like, I actually didn't think you were gonna pay up the bet. So I'm actually much respect for paying up the bet. You did like a real fucking.
You won,
no, really.
Bro.
Like
you
I, won, I like, honestly, like I was very impressed. I really. Yeah.
I mean, you can say what you want. You can say what you want about Sheldon. I can tell you that he always repays his bets. He's lost a couple of bets to me. He lost the haircut bet. I gave him a haircut. He lost the stinky fish bet. He lost the stinky fish bet. I gave him the stinky fish bet.
I will always pay up. I would never bet on something that I can pay up, sir. I think it's very good.
Listen, let's quickly talk about the market. So bull market or bear market, fam?
So what's going on with that stripper background there with the lights and stuff? I mean, it looks quite cool, but it looks very crazy.
You're talking about mine.
No, I'm talking about hustles.
It's just like a light that like reflects off the ceiling. It looks a lot better on my normal PC camera. Trust me.
Okay, it looks like you didn't take down your Christmas tree, bro.
Hold on, fam. Bull market or bear market?
Bull. I'll answer last.
Didn't
what?
Bull or bear?
It's a bull market.
Bearish until we break well above the 90s. So bearish.
Okay. But it's no. Hold on a second. What's the question? What do you mean, bull market? Of course,
are
it's
we
a
in
bull
a bull market or are we in a bear market?
No, are we about to have alt season? I think that's the question.
There's no
alt season. No, definitely no alt season.
Okay, wait, slowly.
You see, now we're going to debate. Now we're going to talk. No alt season.
Dude, alt week. Alt 2 weeks, maybe.
I think we're in a bull market. Like, it's not a question if we're in a bull market or a bear market. Like, there is the United States having Bitcoin as a national reserve, like you cannot be in anything else other than the bull market.
No, whether hold on. You're very wrong. Because news doesn't make a market. Market action makes a market.
No, but the circumstances do. Can you be in a bear market if the United States uses Bitcoin as its national reserve?
If the prices keep going down, it's a bear market, right?
Yeah, but prices correct 30% every single bull market. So this 30% correction is nothing.
Bro, hold on. Bro, you're a chartist, right? Do you know? Have you ever seen this pattern before? This one that does this and this. You ever seen this pattern
before? It's called the Clearer. Yeah, just go back a little bit. Go back to the previous bump.
Yeah,
it's called a 618 bump. So.
Go back to the previous bump. It's called a exactly. That's your pattern. Exactly there. That's the same pattern. Exactly.
I see a double top.
It's temporary. And that's why we came down. It's already played out. But now it's about higher lows, right? Now it's about, are we still in that main trend at the bottom there? Are we still in a, you know, Bitcoin's in a bull, but I think the bigger question is altcoins in a bull market? I think that's the question we should ask.
No, I think no.
Well, I think we know the answer. The alts are wrecked, bro.
I want to say for the record that I think we're in a bear market. I don't think it's a 2-year bear market or a 3-year bear market like the previous bear markets. I think this bear market will last. You could probably say the bear market started in January because you can say the top was in December over here, right? That was like the first top here, and then the second top was here. So I think that this bear market lasts for another till May, June. I think you've got
bro, that's not April, a bear. Then we are
five
in a bear
six months. Yes.
That's a bull market pullback.
Exactly. 5-6 months
like a pay cycle. It's like a temporary pullback.
How much was the pullback pullback?
When have we ever had a 5-6 month pullback in a bull market?
Look at that, exactly there. The previous one. Where you even have the channel drone. How long was that? 180 days?
It was 180 days. That was more sideways, guys. That was sideways. Come on. That was a sideways. That was much more sideways than fucking look at that.
You can't measure it from the top to the bottom on that wedge.
Okay. I know where you're going with this. 34%. So you're saying this is a bull market correction?
Yeah, okay. Of course.
Okay. I think we're saying the same thing. You're saying bull market correction. I'm saying bear market for the next 6 months. So I think we're pretty much saying the same thing. Depends on your time frame.
Let's talk here. Let's jump to the real topic here. Are we ever going to see, or this year, are we going to see the 40 to 50% Bitcoin dominance? Like, why are you guys saying that it's done now? Like, there's no alt season coming now. We've had it every cycle, but everyone's saying that there's not going to be an alt season now. Like, where's your head? Do you think the days of low dominance is gone?
Tell us why you think there is. I'm very happy to share my thoughts.
Because that's how the market takes profits. Because without an alt season,
who's taking profits? Because if 25%
people that have been accumulating.
Hold on. Okay, yeah, let's talk about who's been accumulating, right? So
yes,
28% of the total Bitcoin's net inflows were MicroStrategy. MicroStrategy ain't taking profits into altcoins. Okay, the about 20% of the remaining BTC inflows were ETFs. The ETFs ain't taking inflows, which means that 40-45% of the inflows, the net inflows into Bitcoin, were ETFs and MicroStrategy. Those guys are not going to ETH and Solana and Dogecoin and everything else. In the old cycle, the cycle was completely different, where there weren't institutional shareholders, there were no ETFs. It was people, it was private investors and crypto-related funds. And those private investors and crypto-related funds basically made money on Bitcoin, moved down the risk curve or up the risk curve to ETH, moved up the risk curve to Solana, moved up the risk curve to all those ones, right? Now, the market is completely, completely, completely different. In fact, I actually want to show you something, which I read, which, look, it's not cool, but I think, and I don't agree with it 100%, but I think it's important that you actually, like, read this shit. Because I know you don't really read news so much. I know you're just a chart guy, which is cool. I respect that because news can create noise in your head if you're a chart guy, right? I completely respect the fact that you don't rely on news. But just read this thesis by Meltem, right? She says, quick flip. She did a presentation. She says, this is where it all began. We talked about 10 years ago. We talked about wanting to buy magic mushrooms on the internet. And then that became destabilizing the financial system. If we take out Bitcoin and Ethereum, This is the last 5 years in the crypto market. So this is, if you look at the 5 years of crypto, you look at the market cap of crypto in the last 5 years. If you take out Bitcoin and Ethereum, there's pretty much been very little growth in the altcoin market, net growth in the altcoin market. This is a big problem. There's no growth. 2024, propped up by two persistent bids, MicroStrategy and the ETFs. But buyers aren't missionaries. They're mercenaries, right? MicroStrategy are farming the convertible ARB, and iBit are farming the BIPs. You know, there's the cash and carry trade on the futures. 6% of the total Bitcoin supply lies with these guys. Okay. So.
Which is quite crazy, by the way. 6%. That's
despite
crazy.
The promise of innovation and breathless Twitter shilling of L1s, Bitcoin dominance is rising, not falling. This is a Bitcoin industry. It's a Bitcoin story. It's a Bitcoin market. So let's look at Bitcoin. We've had so many incredible rallies and narratives and flow catalysts. What possible narrative or flow could drive it higher? The US is stockpiling Bitcoin. You've had friendly regulation and legislation. You've had the Dubai Sovereign Wealth Fund, or Mubadala, sorry, the Abu Dhabi Sovereign Wealth Fund, Mubadala, buying Bitcoin. Yet the market cannot pump. Okay? DeFi is incredible, but TradFi winning when it comes to making money. Stablecoins and ETFs are on track to generate $9.1 billion of F1 2025 revenue. The institutions are coming. Yeah, they see money being made and they want a piece. Nothing personal, it's just business. In this case, Trump, he's coming to Dask because he's trying to pump his bag. He's a mercenary, not a visionary. The institutional investors are tweeting about adoption, yet the trench warriors are tweeting about meme coins and have more in common than you might think. We need to stop simping and start thinking. Stop being dumb. Okay. Effectively, what she's saying is, don't fool yourself about what's actually going on in this industry right now, right? And this is the part that worries me. All the narratives are out. Like, bro, the US has a strategic Bitcoin reserve. Uh-huh. Bro, the US is favorable to crypto. Bro, there is stablecoin regulation or coming out. What could possibly pump this thing? Yeah, that's why I say,
okay.
That's why I say, I agree with you. I agree with you. We will probably
let me ask the question. How do these guys take profits in the future? Bitcoin goes to 200K somehow now. How do they ever take profits?
It on the table.
Who do they take profits from?
Sell their Bitcoin.
Who do they take profits from?
Sell their Bitcoin to the next buyer and move on.
Because they can't dump now, right? They can't. There's no liquidity in the market. There's not enough liquidity in the market. They'll cause such a big drop. They're going to lose money, right?
But remember,
get out of this market.
Remember why these guys are buying. Okay. These guys are buying because there's an arbitrage between spot and futures, right? That is why these guys are buying Bitcoin. They're not buying because they want to be holding. Why do you think there was a $4 billion outflow out of the ETFs? Because the spread between, so let me explain to you how it works, right? Right now they're funds. The funds are holding cash. On the cash, they're holding cash. They're earning. Yeah, I'll show you. I'll show you now the US02W. So if you're a fund and you're sitting on cash, these are your options. You can earn 3.942% if you just buy a two-year bond, right? So you're earning 3.942%, right? Or you can buy Bitcoin ETFs and you can sell Bitcoin shorts, right? So you go long ETF, short Bitcoin, Bitcoin. Your long ETF, so you're delta neutral, but you're earning the yield on the short, right? So effectively, you're locking in yield immediately. And now the yield's gone to zero, so that's why these guys are starting to sell. When the yield goes up, when the longers are paying the shorters and the shorters are paying the longers to short and to long, then effectively, these guys are earning money. So don't think that these people are buying to take profits or to make money. They're buying because there's an arbitrage, bro. They're buying because there's an arbitrage.
But are you talking about institutions? Because I actually do think that people getting into, because when we say BlackRock was buying, it's also the people buying through BlackRock and different companies.
Some of it.
So those people, I do think are here to buy and hold. Like there was no way for them to get into Bitcoin safely and
30%
use the custodian. Now I think it's much higher.
So
you think it's 30%?
There were some people that actually did an analysis. I'll try and find the analysis for you. I saw it a long time ago, and I just don't know if I'm going to be able to find the tweet.
I actually think
what happened to Johnny? So, Hardis, can we try and get Johnny back here? Try and get him back. Just WhatsApp him. Try and get him back. I have to go through this guy's tweets, and he's got a lot of tweets, and it's a tweet from like 2 weeks ago. So I don't think I'll be able to find it.
Let me just pitch in here, Ren. So I think for me, I think it's much, much simpler. I think it's in the previous market, 2017 was wild. 2021, we thought we buy Bitcoin, exactly what you're saying, the ripple effect. It's not because they have to dump. It's because the risk appetite changed. I made money on Bitcoin, which was going up, and then I just moved allocated funds into different tokens, which where the liquidity was flowing. But if you look at it now, people who are buying ETFs, people who are buying, like institutions who are buying Bitcoin, they're not going to start buying Doge or whatever that might be. They're just simply going to hold onto their coins, and they're going to hold onto a year or two or three. But also, I think there is one more aspect that is even making alt season. As an alt season, I tweeted about this, and I've been about this for the past 6 months or whatever. There's going to be a rotation market. You have to be Bitcoin and rotation. And people realize if you just held Bitcoin, if you just held Bitcoin and did nothing else, you'd be down 25, 30% maybe. And on the on a year horizon or whatever that is, you wouldn't be done. But if you were betting on, I'm going to outperform Bitcoin with all these AI agents and this memes, and which we all did, to be very honest with you, everybody got wrecked. And I think that is a shift in mindset that didn't happen previously. And now it's there. And now it's Bitcoin. And everybody who is going to get into alts, they're going to rotate out as fast as they can.
You're starting to become a Bitcoin maximalist, Fefe. You're coming up with
100%. 100%. 100%. Like 100%.
Oh, wow. But
to be honest, everyone's a Bitcoin maxi and saw that one fat green candle altcoins come and then everyone's
Sheldon,
back
bro.
In altcoins again.
Like
for
Sheldon,
me, bro. Guys, we need people to fly into crypto when it's some sort of, to say that people aren't going to take profits. Like, I don't believe that at all. Everyone's buying Bitcoin now and accumulating because they firstly think there's going to be a rise in price. And we've heard all these fundamentals that actually should drive price up. But I just see them accumulating right now. They don't want price to go up right now. Right, they're just accumulating, which means every bullish news we get just gets sold into. But we what? So governments are buying. Everyone's
you know
accumulating
what the
Bitcoin
is?
At this point.
I don't know.
When they send it though, no. But when they send it though, like if you showed that chart now of the altcoins, look at the last cycles. When they peaked up like that, that was where Bitcoin is near its top. Right? Why? Because it makes sense that altcoins will bring millions of people into crypto, not Bitcoin. Altcoins
but
bring
I
all
think
the interest.
Shifted.
The memes bring in.
Shifted.
This is what brings liquidity into the market.
Well, I think
market.
That pool Bitcoin is getting smaller because every time we have one of these fake alt seasons, people get absolutely rinsed and they say, fuck crypto. I'm going
exactly.
back to trading stocks.
Until there's one fat green
candle. Yeah, but you know
what?
That pool is
friend,
getting smaller and smaller all the time. These guys are getting burnt. I mean, geez, they're putting like their auntie's money into crypto when the market's pumping. Auntie's getting wrecked. And now it's Sunday lunch.
You know,
not
this reminds me of, you know, this reminds me of from a sentiment point of view. From a sentiment point of view, this reminds me exactly of this. Exactly. I remember this dip in 2021. And I remember the sentiment. I remember the sentiment. It was the 50% dip.
This is where we just started, bro.
I remember,
no, don't
I remember
get me
the
wrong.
Sentiment.
Look, it's very important.
I remember the sentiment.
Don't get me wrong. I just think if you know, if you understand there's 21 million Bitcoin, 2 million has been lost, 1 million is not going to be mined forever. You've got to wait a long time. You get like 18 million Bitcoins. And if you understand supply and demand and you understand the government start accepting it, Bitcoin will pull a 10x in the next 5 to 10 years. Why would I gamble on pulling a 5 to 10x on an altcoin here? And I'm not saying like we're obviously going to go back. I'm going to trade altcoins. I'm going to trade memes. I'm going to check all this new narrative that comes. But my ultimate goal will always be to accumulate more Bitcoin because that's the only thing in the long run is sustainable.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not saying
that's the retention market.
It's in the long term, it's very, very, very your probability in the long term of buying something that outperforms Bitcoin up until this point has been very, very low. If you take any chart of any coin against Bitcoin, there's very, very, very few. I mean, just look at ETH BTC. I mean, and there's many. I'll show you many. That's the ETH BTC chart. I'm going to show it to you on the weekly.
How many times we thought it was the bottom?
Right.
Yeah, this is 2020. This is 20. You're talking about 2020, but you can do it with like. I mean, let's go Doge BTC. I think Doge was one of the only ones that actually ever made an all-time high against Bitcoin ever after. Yeah, so in 2021, and I don't think. Yeah, I mean, just all these coins just went down against Bitcoin. Actually, let's go Sol BTC.
Yeah, Sol's done pretty good to Bitcoin. It's not bad.
Yeah, but not compared to where it was in 2021. Yeah, the only thing actually
guys,
funny enough,
to the
funny
enough chart. This is what doesn't make sense. Like,
look at this
Bitcoin dominance chart. Would you buy that coin?
Hold on, let me show you something. No, no,
this, I'm this sorry, guys. I can't wait for Bitcoin to be $2 million in 20 years to get rich. Like, the volatility within
that.
I'll see the opportunity. No, but end of the day, you're telling a person that's got $1,000 right now to buy Bitcoin. Like, that's their life savings. If they want to make their life in crypto, one of the best industries, like,
yeah, but bro, that's the easiest way. Yeah, but we have a responsibility, because if someone has $1,000, you can't tell them to buy alts, because if you told them that in December, they got fucking rinsed. You know what I mean? Like, that's the problem. That's what we have to understand. Yeah, but you are
looking at it, Fifi, with respect.
But I told them to buy it in August as well, and they made 400%.
That's what I was going to say. Fifi, that's the thing.
Where is the place you're getting out?
Fifi, you taking a very small point in time, and I know this argument. This argument says you take the time of extreme fear, and at the time of extreme fear, when the markets had when altcoins have had a 90% correction, you go and tell everyone I'm a Bitcoin maxi. Reality is, we are, as Sheldon says, you get one green candle, and then everyone goes fuck yes. Yeah. So let me tell you
the question. Hold on.
Right now,
I remember.
Right now, yeah, do you think you can pick 5 coins that are going to outperform Bitcoin for 12 months?
Yes. Most likely.
I'm just proving. Yeah,
but the question is, what do you? Because if you, and this is what I'm saying, if we can't tell people to put $1,000 into Bitcoin and wait. I mean, you can tell people to put $1,000 into Bitcoin and wait, but you can't tell people to put $1,000 into Solana and wait 6 years. I would not do that.
Hassel, what do you think, bro?
It's rotation.
I think right now we may have even seen more of an alt season occur if Pump Fund didn't exist. Think about how much liquidity and short-term dopamine people were chasing the quick gains. Because like we're talking about on this panel, would I rather put $1,000 into Bitcoin or would I rather go to the Sol Casino at that time and try to gamble on the daily runner, because there was coins going to 100 mil every other day, just spawning out of nowhere. So to me, a lot of liquidity was sucked out of the altcoin market just because of Pump Fund. So also, I think Pump Fund is a risk. They just came out with this new update yesterday. If the trenches come back and Pump Fund still exists, whenever the market does trend back up, maybe dominance goes down, altcoins could start running. It's just a matter of, are people going to be taking risks on altcoins, or are they going to run right back to the Pump Fund Casino? That's my concern, honestly, about where liquidity is.
Honestly, fuck the Pump Fund Casino. I think it was distractive. It was extractive and it was distractive. It started off as a fun game. I'll be honest. I really enjoyed meme coins in the beginning, and then it just became an extraction mechanism for the cabal. And I think
like what Fefe was saying, people are now kind of wised up to the fact, oh, it could have been a Bitcoin bull run. That's what we're in right now. I hope that investors are wising up to the fact that Pump Fund isn't a winning game, especially long term, and it's a net negative for the space.
I don't think so. It's human nature, bro. It's human nature. The first thing they're going to do. But there's a green can. I'll be honest with you. I'm going to go back as well. Like, I'm very honest with you. I'm going to go back. I'm going to put $10,000 on a Solana account. I'm going to get it rugged in 2 weeks, and I'm going to be like, fuck this. You know, it's human nature.
But if you know that, then why would you not accumulate altcoins right now? If you know that the wave will return, why would you not buy alts when they're 70% down?
Because I want to get in when confirmation is there.
Doesn't make...
Because not all coins are going to make a return.
Confirmation is 100% come from here. And that's when your risk goes up. People are always late to the party, right? 100% pump from here.
Yeah, but you can also be very early to the party. And I think that's what's happening here.
You might be too early, bro. You know, in 2021, both of us were too early. Both of us started buying the dip at the top.
Bro, I might be early in line, but at least I'm going to be in the club when the party starts. I'm not going to be sitting outside with the bouncers. Like, I might be there early and it might be a little bit
tipsy. Yeah, but I'd rather drink outside until the party starts. Yeah, but I'd rather drink outside. Just, you know, have some shots outside and then go in when the party starts.
Stop, guys. I want to hear Dylan. Dylan, your sound is bad, but I want to hear you. You got terrible sound, but we love you anyway.
Yeah, like in terms of DCA and stuff like that, I mean, when you get these types of drops, I mean, look at Popcat, look at Brett, look at those things. Like, you're telling me those things aren't going to come back and pump 100% randomly in the space of a week? They're totally going to. It's just a matter of time. So, yeah, in terms of DCA, you just slowly just creep in. We can all see that there's a potential bottom on Bitcoin at 70K. There's a potential bottom at 51. There's a potential bottom at 32 there. Those are the big levels that we're watching. But, like, as this thing goes down, you can just accumulate some of those else. We know we get these snapback bounces. We've seen it so many times.
Yeah, but let's not forget that 50% drop. Like, if something dropped, like, how much can you open?
Bring
like
up total three. Let's debate. If you look at the total three chart, it doesn't even look anywhere near as what we're making it sound, right? I just want to obviously know what's holding total three. But if we look at that chart, that's like, it's not too far off the Bitcoin chart. Bitcoin,
you know what the problem is? Total three doesn't take all altcoins. I think it takes the top 100 or something like that. It doesn't take all altcoins. That's the problem.
Which for me, it's really one that don't even matter. Right? I don't trade the other crap. You guys know I never got into memes. You know I never got into that crap. I was always the Solana, the Lynx, the, you know, and that this is the only alt that mattered to me. But that doesn't look bad. That doesn't look like
Kyle smashed it in the memes, eh? Kyle's fucking smashed it in the memes. I wish he was here to tell us, but the guy smashed it in the memes. Remember, he caught that BlackRock.
Yeah, I know he did well the first one. I don't know how his second run went.
He got quite good. Yeah, I want to stop talking about the markets for a little bit. I want to talk to you as people. Like I know we're all in the game of crypto. We have a responsibility. We have communities on our shoulders. We have to make content every day because that's what our contracts with Banter all say. We have to all make content every single day. Tell me about
This has been the hardest time, bro.
How's life, guys? Like how motivated are you today? Like, I know your whole lives depend on crypto. How motivated are you right now?
It's hard out there. It's been a grind.
Dill, tell me why it's so hard, bro. Like, what's so hard? Like, just, I know you say it's hard, but like, what is so hard?
So look, as a trader, we want the market to go our way. And, you know, if we pick a direction, we want to see an extended move. Well, for me, I'm not a scalper. So I like to see the bigger moves. That obviously gets me energized. That gets me excited. And obviously, I want to see my community like excelling and winning and all these things. And you just know, like, when the market's rough like this and chopping guys up, it gets frustrating. It just gets really frustrating. You get a little bit of hopium. You think you're going to get a move. You're like, guys, this could be the one. And then they come and they fucking reverse you again. And it's just like this continuous chop, the round trip. And
I hear you. I understand the market. I want to try and understand, like, tell me about Dylan. Tell me about like, so you're saying it's tough. Like, tell me more about like what you go through in a day. Like, you wake up in the morning, emotions.
Yeah, so the first thing I do is 6:30 is check the fucking charts immediately. And I mean, you've actually said it before, but it's the same for all of us. I think everyone sitting here, the first thing you do when you open your eyes is see what the price of Bitcoin is and what your altcoins are doing. So
when I wake up in the morning and I look at the price of Bitcoin, it's the first thing I do. Like, I actually realize it's a routine.
I don't do that anymore. Okay, I used to, but not this market.
So I just wake up in the middle of the night. I don't wake up in the middle of the night. I don't look at my phone at night because I know I never be able to go to bed. But I wake up in the morning. Literally, I walk to the bathroom because I take a pee first thing in the morning. It's, you know, at my age, that's the first thing you do. You take a pee. And then...
I thought in your age, you take it in the bed. But that's good to know.
No, that's 2 years from now, bro. But I mean, the first thing I do when I take a pee is I look at my phone. And then I look at the Bitcoin price. And then that sets the tone for me for the whole day. Why? If it's down or up... No issue. Why? Because I know I can make content and I know the market's moving. If it's the same as it's been every other day, I kind of know my day is going to be so crap. If it's badly down, then it's like, shit, protect the community. I must say, for me, like, making content now is really hard. And the reason why I say it's really hard, I'm really motivated to make amazing content because I know that millionaires are made in the bear market and that you can't lose your focus, right? Problem is that the market doesn't give you any news that's worth talking about. And so the problem is I've got a lot of researchers and often what I find is that the researchers try and make a show out of something that doesn't exist. I don't do that. Like, you know, if it doesn't exist, I'm not going to create a show just to create content because I can get people wrecked. So I think it's a very, very, very tough time. Also, like for me, I got to be honest, like one of my hardest things now is to keep all the hosts and the rest of the company motivated. When the market was green, everybody was motivated because everyone just came to work and made money. Like, they were making money on meme coins, they were making money on calls. It was fun to come to work. It was easy to make shows. It was like really easy to make shows. Every day something ran, every day there was news. Today, like, it's hard. I get it, it's hard. Like, it's a grind. But I do know that, like, what makes banter and what makes us unique is we have a unique culture. And our culture is that we are always here for our community, even in the blackest days. Like, I know that I've had two black days in my life or black periods in my life, like the blackest periods in my content creation life. First one was Luna. Like, Luna was hard for me, bro. It was the biggest smack I ever got. It was like I went and I had a fight with Mike Tyson and he got the first punch and he destroyed me, right? And then I still had to make content. And that was like very, very, very fucking hard. Because like, you know, I didn't even feel like getting out of bed, let alone making content. And the second time was this big ETH liquidation about a month ago, whenever it was. Where, I mean, Fefe, you know, I spoke to you immediately afterwards, but like, I got liquidated for like $10 million or something. Something like ridiculously stupid. And it was just because I wasn't managing my margin because I just thought ETH could never go below 2,100. It was at 3,100 when I went to bed. Like, you don't feel like making content on those days. But then what did I do? I just switched on the camera and I forced myself to make content. And I think that's the magic of banter is that, you know, a lot of our competitors have disappeared. A lot of our competitors are making less shows. A lot of our competitors are making shorter shows. Some of them don't even make shows anymore. They're doing other content. I think we just keep grinding, bro. And I think that's the magic of banter. 100%. And that's my.
I do.
Shall you?
I do think this is a little opportunity for the viewers and that to also do get a little bit of an insight. Like my side, this whole journey, there was two battles to fight. The first one was to see see that euphoria again and to see that excitement of people, you know, to have that opportunity to change their lives. And I think we drive off of that. I think we get so excited when starting to erupt. And
that's a super thing for me. Like what powers us, Sheldon? What powers us is the dopamine, is the reward. It's the reward of knowing
when I see that excitement and I see the waiting rooms filled and I see the chats flying through the roof and I see this hope and the excitement and stuff, like, you know, you cannot get a happier version of me. It's something that's drives me always. This money, losing money and stuff, because we spoke about it as well. I also, you know, lost, for me now, literally like multi-millions of dollars. Like it was a lot in the thing, but that's not what really hurt me. What hurt me was like to see how people kind of have lost hope again. And they kind of were so excited about something that could maybe change their life. And they've kind of allowed it to get to them. And they just like, you know what? Like, it's wrecked me again. And they've kind of disappeared. And that hurt quite a bit to see, you know, just to see people quitting again. That was really hard to take it.
In the last time when you went from bull to bear, we lost Sheldon. Like, we lost Sheldon. Sheldon was not motivated. We couldn't get into the office to do shows. Like it was tough. It was tough to keep Sheldon motivated. But this time around, you're on fire, bro. You're bringing ideas every morning. You're shooting new schools. You're delivering a show, whether it's a pre-record or a live, every single day. What happened in Sheldon's head? Like, how did? Because we all know Sheldon is the guy he's the most motivated guy in the bull. And when the markets turn, he's not the most motivated guy. What happened? Like, how did you manage to? How did you manage to change your mindset?
Yeah, I think the first time was very much, you know, because I was kind of mentally attached to money from not having much and then coming to banter and that happened. And when all of that started to go down and the tax and that happened, I think it mentally kind of scared me and I kind of ran away a little bit. Where this time, I got so excited when I saw the community fired up and I saw that the community is what makes me happy, right? And to see their euphoria and to see their excitement. And I made a promise to myself that I'm going to work a lot harder this time because it's the community that mattered to me. So building the school is more important right now than anything. And getting more education out there is more important than anything right now. And, you know, the money, I know personally, I can go get the money back. But I think I just changed what really matters to me, bro. And it's the people that matter to me a lot. So I'm motivated to build shit now. You taught me that. You taught me 15 miles a day. We outperform everyone in the market because we work on the red days. So work hard and work on something that matters. And that's a big thing. And also not to say as well, like what also mentally got to me this year was, you know, market started chopping in this Feb and my shows were still on form and things like that were good. And then I decided to take 2 weeks off, 3 weeks off to go be a dad. I just have a boy and I lose 30% of my viewership. I lose 30% of income. I lose 30% of like, I just go take a little break, you know, to go be a dad and do something. And you just lose 30% of your base. And
unforgiving,
it's like,
unforgiving,
it's
unforgiving.
Very, very cutthroat. It's very tough, bro. So mentally, it's like, it's been a very hard start of the year.
But you're focused.
Yeah, unforgiving.
But you're focused. I'm
more focused than ever. But I just want people to know behind the screen, there's a lot more than just us calling trades every day and these type of things. Like we fight through quite a lot of things that I don't think people know. And the fact that we're still here today and we're still bringing this every day, we're still pushing, like, we give a shit about you. And I just want you to know that.
Yeah, Dylan, I mean, I just want to add to that.
Dylan, before you add, I had breakfast with you the other day. You told me that in the beginning when you started doing shows, You used to want to vomit every time before the show. That's how much anxiety you used to have. Like, you're so scared of the camera that like 6 months ago, every time you did a show, you got into such mad anxiety. Tell me how have you progressed?
So look, it's just exposure to the same thing regularly. You also need to grow a super thick skin. I mean, we literally wear these trades at home. So if I've given trades on my show or given them in Chart Hackers or whatever, I fucking wear that thing mentally. At 2 a.m, if I wake up and the market's dumped, like, you wearing that, you're like, oh, you know, damn, what did I do wrong? You know, are people getting stopped? Are they upset? Like, stuff like
that.
And
it's a stupid tweet or something, bro. It just comes out of nowhere. It's not even like anything you could predict.
So, like, we wear that mental burden. And then obviously on top of that, you've got to wear the mental burden of now creating content, doing almost a performance, you know, a show, putting it together, something you think people are going to be interested in.
Like, you still get nervous. Do you still get nervous?
No, not anymore. I used to, in the beginning it's a lot of pressure because you looking for trades all day. You want to give your best trade setups to the people. You're also trying to get content together that is interesting, and you're just trying to deliver like a nice product. So you put all those combinations together, it's super stressful, but you know, then you get used to it and then life carries on.
So Fefe,
there's nearly 100 staff in bands or 50, and there's so much going on, but you've got 6 people that have their face on it. And we're the ones that take the brunt on all of it. Like, we're the ones that, doesn't matter what happens, like, we're the ones that take the hits on everything. And I think it's been quite challenging.
Yeah, so, look, it's a tough thing, but we've got a beautiful team there behind us.
We have a beautiful team.
Now, people don't know that there's like 100 people at Banter. Like, they don't realize there's like 100 of us. And actually, there's even more. If you take the sniper team is like, what, 40 people? We don't really count those people under Banter. There's like 40 people in the sniper team, never mind. So, I mean, like, people don't realize that. Fefe, bro, why are you doing this? Why do you do this? Are you doing this because you want to be rich? Are you doing it because you want to make money? Like, what? Why are you doing this, bro? You grind, you operate every single day.
Yeah, man. Like, I've got a point to prove to myself as well. Interesting for me to hear, like, what Dylan said. He was you know, anxious, and I was, you know, for me coming into Banter, I really look at Banter as a Formula One team. And what Sheldon just said, that you have these 5-6 people who put their face on there, but if there is no one changing the tires, this thing doesn't run. And so if the person who is not changing the tire, the thing doesn't run. But if the person who changes the tire does it so fucking well and you screw up on the track, it's on you. Like, it's on you, and you let down 100 people. So I think for me, it was very challenging to actually just get into Banter and pick up the, like, it's, I always, for
let me guess, joining my team,
I always tell them that it's like jumping onto a train that goes 120 kilometers an hour. Like, that's what you're trying to do when you join Banter. And that's what you do when you join my team as well. And so I was trying to jump on a train that was going 300 kilometers an hour. And you have to, like, kind of keep up with the pace. So for me, it was, like, very difficult. But then I realized that we went to Ayahuasca. And Ayahuasca told me that it should just be me. And since then, everything is good.
Remember a year before that, Ayahuasca gave me the same message about you. And she said, like, tell Fefe to stop worrying about being big and to actually start worrying about doing the work that he needs to do, and he'll become big automatically. That's the
No, she said stop worrying about money.
Yeah.
I was so down, bro. I was so down. I had so much debt on everything, and I couldn't keep up with everything. And I remember that was wild. You called me after your journey, and you're like, I don't know what the fuck that means, but Ayahuasca tells you you should stop worrying about money and stop worrying about being big and just, you know, do it. But it took me a year to understand, and another journey.
Yeah.
But yeah. Just, I mean, for so those of you, yeah, look, I always wanted to help people. This literally what it was. Everything what I did, I always help people. And here I think I have the opportunity for the first time in my life where I can make a mass impact on a global scale.
So, I mean, for those of you who don't know, Sheldon runs a trading school. I think it's called Sniper School. There's a link below. If you want to learn the Sheldon way, that's Sheldon's doing his sniper school. Dylan has got his indicator school, basically. It's a school that for people who want to learn how to automate their trading using indicators. And I don't know how many of you guys, and there's also a link for
more than that, but yeah.
Yeah, carry on. Tell us what it is.
Well, it's basically the TA that I use on my show summarized in very short, concise videos, super easy to understand. And then on top of that, we blend in all the indicators that you see me using. So it's like a combination tool. And then we've just bought which is built up with indicator called the hot zone indicator. Absolute banger.
So beautiful. There's a link to Sheldon and Dylan's school. I don't know how
I love how this
know.
Team just builds, bro. The markets are red. We're building. I love it.
I just love the way he says it's a banger. No one can say it as good as you with the beard. It's a banger.
I don't know how many of you know Dylan's actually launched his own beard oil collection, right? You can actually.
What the hell? Wait, drop it for a second. Like, I want to understand this, bro. Where does beard oil? Like, what is it like real?
It's real, bro. It's coming. I've got a like a
send me
Shopify.
A link, Dylan, send me a link to my WhatsApp. I think you put it on screen.
We can't order yet. I'm busy sorting out all my suppliers, but everything is up and it's happening, bro. We're even getting like beard straight.
Is it worldwide?
Legendary. I think it's such a smart move. Such a smart move.
Yeah. So, okay. Yeah. So, this is, I just want to show you. Like, so, I don't know how many of you know. While Dylan and Sheldon have got these amazing schools, Fefe and I decided we want to help people get into crypto, beginners, real beginners. And so Fefe and I built our own school.
It took you 3 years, Ron.
There we go. Show you what we built.
Let me guess. You here because you want to make money in crypto.
You're 18 and a millionaire.
Crypto millionaires are being minted overnight. Supercars, private jets, $50,000 Rolexes.
$1,000 into $15 million.
But you also think that crypto is scary, technical, and full of scams, right?
This trading platform was a simulation.
I lost $1.2 million.
And that's been taken away from me now.
Everything that we had.
Well, you're in the right place. Welcome to Crypto School. I'm Crypto Man Ran, and I'm so excited to have you here. The reason why I'm so excited is because we've literally spent years building a safe place to learn about crypto. This is not one of those places that's going to try and sell you a membership or try and sell you a specific crypto token. In fact, we're not trying to sell you anything, and we're not aligned with any specific crypto token. At Crypto School, our mission is to build the most profitable community in the world by really educating people on the fundamentals of this revolutionary asset class. And we take our mission very, very seriously.
So I joined Cypress School. I put $400 into a Mexi account, and I can show you the account right now. It's at 130K. My life has changed.
Just a 9-to-5 type guy. I work construction. I pulled out $12,500 from my retirement. Today I've got $117,000.
I have learned more in the last 4 weeks than I've learned in the last 5 years.
So whether you're brand new to crypto or whether you've taken a couple of trades, Crypto School has 5 promises for you. Firstly, Crypto School will be fun, simple, and structured. In less than 10 days, you'll be able to hold your own in any crypto discussion. And that's because you'll understand the fundamentals and not just the prices in the markets. At Crypto School, we'll never shill you or align you with any specific project. We're here to teach you about the fundamentals in a fun and safe way. By the end of this course, you'll be able to build your first crypto portfolio, and you'll know when to buy the tokens and when to sell the tokens. And lastly, and probably most importantly, you'll make friends and you'll build a crypto network for life. And in the volatility of these markets, you're going to need as many friends as you can get.
This class has been great. You're just making me want to learn more.
Dylan, you have changed my life, my brother.
This is like pure gold.
I've been in the industry for a long time, and I can assure you that Crypto School is the best place to learn about crypto in a fun, safe, and credible environment. And I'm not the only one who's going to be guiding you through this journey. You'll be guided by our network of industry experts, by our huge internal team, by our moderators, coordinators, and by my co-pilot, Fefe, who you'll meet in the next video. In fact, in the next video, Fefe is going to walk you through everything that you're going to learn in the course. And he's going to give you a game plan for how we're going to achieve the promises and ultimately change your life with crypto.
So that's launching soon, probably next week. That's
congrats,
launch, so.
Guys. Nice. Yeah, congrats. I know you guys have worked really hard on it. Very proud of you guys. Well done.
Yeah, Hassel, I wanna ask you, bro. Yeah, when I had a chat to you, your life started off as gaming, and then, in gaming, the gaming sector has been pretty, like, hit hard. How's your mindset, bro? How's it going?
Yeah, I wanted to talk, Dylan was like, I used to have anxiety on shows. Imagine peak euphoria 2021, Rand brings me on the show. And then my second show was alongside Becker and Elio. That was like a whirlwind in my head. So there was a lot going on at that time. And my heart was beating fast. I will tell you that.
Remember, Johnny, when we spoke, like in the beginning, I said to you, you were working a full-time job. I think you were in sales or something. And I was like, bro, you got to quit your job. I'll take the risk on you. I'll guarantee you a minimum salary. Just fucking quit your job and start making content, bro.
Yeah, you're the one that got me over the hump to just completely go full time into it. And I'll always remember that. But yeah, I mean, as far as this market right now for gaming, especially, it's been rough. There's really only been about four time periods over the course of the last 3 years where gaming had a big pump in their altcoin sector. And there hasn't happened since last year, last February 2024. That was the last big gaming catalyst. So it has been quite rough, and a lot of teams have gone under. It's been one of the most volatile sectors as far as teams leaving. I do think AI is the new gaming, where you're going to see a lot of these AI products fold over the course of time. But at this point in time, yeah, gaming's been rough. I've been very focused on our software product at Nexus. We have our perps trading and equities trading coming up live. And yeah, like you said, we're all building here and trying to just make sure that whenever the markets are down, you make the most of your time, you put out content, you build in the meantime. Because like you said, winners are made in the bear market. And I think winning products are also made in the bear market.
Amazing, amazing, amazing. Yeah, I must say, I must say that I think it's like we've got a good bunch of people with a great culture. It's a pity Carl couldn't be there, because I think Carl's also doing it. I also think that we've got a good bunch of mechanics behind us, which are helping us. I said mechanics. Hardest, just come step into the picture, bro. I don't know how many of you know this guy, but like, he's a guy who runs all of our shows in the background.
First one in the morning.
How many shows do you run a day? How many shows do you run a day?
I've stopped counting, honestly.
What time do you get to the office?
I'm here like 6 a.m. in the morning getting ready for the day.
And what time do you finish?
5:30, 6:30. Usually, if we're going to go all night like we did last night, sometimes I leave after 10.
Yeah, I mean, guys, there's a lot of these guys at Banter in the background that you don't actually see. I actually think what we need to do... Yeah, I think what we need to do is we need to bring in the other people at Banter. I'd love to get Kaelin here, and I'd love to get Josh here, and I'd love to get, like, Davey here, and I'd love to get... So I think what we should do in the future...
He's literally arriving here now. We're about to shoot school now. Like, that guy's in office.
Is he in the building?
I'll see if he's here now. He should be here. Yeah.
Go call him. Yeah. So I mean, it's like Banter is really like, for those people who don't know, like, I mean, it's like it's a family. Like, it's you know, it's a bunch of really cool people that just get together because we have a mission, and our mission is just to build the most profitable community in the world, and we're just going to keep driving this mission of building the most profitable community in the world. And it's not only the 6 hosts that you see on the shows. It's 100 people that are responsible for this. I mean, I have a research team of 10 just for my show, like literally just for my show. I have a research team of 10. We have front runners, yeah. We have Sniper Club, we have Dylan.
I don't think people know like how much work goes into a production and the engine behind it. Like sometimes people look at me and they say, oh, your job's so easy. You just pitch up and do a trading show. I'm like, fuck, bro. I wear this thing the whole day.
You the Portuguese sniper.
What did you say?
What's up, guys? Hey! Yo! What's up, bro? What's going on here?
So we're having a Friday banter with all the banter people, and then like people don't know that like how big the team is, and like so this is why Joao is he actually how I met him is he was an assistant cameraman in Lisbon at one of the conferences, and then like we needed
I did not know that. Yeah,
Joao worked. I have a main producer which travels with me. His name's Adrian. He's amazing. And one day when we were in Lisbon, we hired Joao. And then like Joao was a fan, what? and Joao's dad was a fan of the show, and like we all got along like a house on fire. Anyway, long story short, we started using Joao to make content for us. We had a problem with one of our staff internally, and I was like, I told my brother who's also in the business, I said to him, just phone this guy. His name is Joao. Like, I've got a feeling that this guy can solve your problem. And then you know, next thing, Joao's in South Africa and he's helping us make school videos. And now, to be honest, like the guy's become, look, number one, he's the glue that keeps the whole of Banter together. Like Joao is like, everybody loves him. He's the glue that keeps the whole of Banter together. Not only that though, he's like, I think he's one of us. Like he really understands the culture of this place better than anybody else. Like he understands that at Banter, you're either a champion or you get the fuck out. Like I think Joao, yeah. And he makes all the school content. He pretty much runs all the school content on his own. He finds the hosts, he makes the schools. Yeah, I mean, it's fucking.
And I gotta say, like, without Joao, the school, you, bro, like, the vault, everything that we recorded wouldn't have been possible without Joao, bro. He's
I can't explain to you the Joao, like, watch. Joao records in the same room as me, and like, I look at him for affirmation, and he's got like this warm, like, nod where he smiles and he goes, and then you know that you sound good on the camera and you look good on the camera.
But also when Joao goes like, I just don't see Fefe. I just don't see Fefe in there. Like, go out, run a little bit and come back.
Yeah. I mean, people must also appreciate that today is a holiday. Like, today is not a work day. It's a bank holiday in South Africa. And I just wanted, like, just look around you. Hardest is here. I'm here. Fefe is here. Hassel's here. Hassel, what's the time, bro?
6 a.m. now.
6 a.m. So Hassel's been here since 4 a.m. Dylan's here. I mean, there's everybody's here. Like, I look outside the office, and I gave everyone the day off, by the way. I gave everyone the day off. Fefe, you tweeted about this. And everyone is fucking here.
People don't believe you. Everybody's afraid. That's why they're going.
The whole office is here. The whole office is here. Everybody's here. So it just shows you, like, people think it's, like, banter is a culture. Banter is a bunch of really fucking cool people that just want to build the most profitable community in the world. And that's the mission that we're currently on. And I think, Joao, you're nodding because you know my litmus test for things, right?
Yeah, like, I think, you know, for everyone watching, it's really important to note that everything that we do, especially on the school side, all the courses, all the videos, all the words that we say on those videos, on the courses, they are really meant to help you guys. It's like, we are really trying to create the best content possible to help as many people as possible in as many different ways as possible, from, you know, automation now to TA, everything. And we really do it with a lot of care, a lot of love, and we care about every single word, every single video, everything, to make content as the best possible to help you guys. I really mean this.
Yeah, really mean this. You live it with us every single day. Anyway, guys, look, it's our first Friday banter with all the hosts, and I think what we'll do next is we'll actually bring in other banter people. We'll bring in Hardus, we'll bring in Josh, we'll bring in Matt, we'll bring in Davey, we'll bring in, you know, all the people. I think for today, guys, if you want to sign up to any of the schools, if you want to do Sheldon School, there's a link. If you want to do Dylan School, there's a link below. Dylan's got a cohort that starts really soon. So if you guys want to sign up, do it. It's the last one that's going to be free. The rest are going
to
be...
I think to add to the message they run is, guys, we building hard, build hard. Get smarter, do the schools, do whatever you got to do. Just keep improving. When the money cycle comes again, make sure you are smarter, make sure you're wiser. And to be honest, I think us as a company, we've created an ecosystem that's got everything for you. You want a community, you want knowledge, you want shows, you want everything. It's there for you. Just keep focused and keep working on it.
Yeah. So the links for the school are there below. The link to Hassel's product, which is called Nexus, is below, right? There's a link to that below. You guys can go and check it out. It's quite an amazing product. Fefe and my school, the link's not out yet because we haven't decided when we're going to start the first cohort. But pretty soon we'll start the first cohort and you guys can join.
The link is in the description.
No, it'll be in the next, before April.
We need your guys' school. Bring it. There's too much anticipation now. Like, bring the school.
Yeah.
I want to see it.
Yeah. Amazing. Anyway, listen, guys, we'll do this again next week. And I think we'll keep doing it every Friday just until everyone gets to know the whole of banter. We'll see you guys again next week. To Sheldon, Dylan, Fefe, Hardus, Kaylin, Halla, all the guys making the thumbnails, Will, who's running the streams, who's doing the SEO for us, who's clipping shorts for us. To the researchers who help every single day. Yeah, thank you guys. We'll see you guys again next week.
Clubs here as well. Sniper Club, all of them, front runners, all the groups.
I love this. I think it was incredible. We should keep going. I think it's amazing. Amazing. Yeah.
All right, guys. Thank you so much. Nice, we'll see you guys next week. And thank you for giving us your holiday time. All right, guys. See you again on Monday. Until then, trade well, my friends.